Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Crew 3 Podcast. I'm your host, Chris, and with me, as always, it's Ricky. Ricky, say hello.
Just me, no Ruckman.
No Ruckman this week. Ruckman dealing with that loss in the family, so if you feel so inclined, go ahead and send him some love. Let him know how much we appreciate him for all that he does for our community and otherwise. So, we hope that you guys had an amazing holiday season. We took a much-needed week off, and we have a stacked episode today for the people ready to roll. So Ricky, I'm gonna start off with some announcements.
Go
and then
it.
We'll dive right in. Thing number one, we need to get off the docket here. If you're a $5 or higher subscriber on Patreon, our December exclusive is out now. Came out I think on December 31st or January 1st, something like that. Me and Ruckman are discussing our PK diagrams. That's the Pokemon diagrams. They've kind of been a viral sensation where you pick your favorite Pokemon from a myriad of classes, most of which I didn't know existed, a bunch of types that I didn't know were real.
What types did you not know were real?
A lot of them that are not real because they didn't exist in 1995. So
the only new one is Fairy.
That is not true. Steel was not Gen 1.
Steel is in Silver.
Steel, I think, is Gen 2, to be fair.
That's in Pokemon Silver. You played Pokemon Silver.
I did. I've played most of them, to be fair. I've played a lot of them, but they're not real, you know? And I don't think, what was it? There's another one definitely in there that I was like, wait, what? This is a thing, you know? Like, they divided up, like, poison, grass, bug. Like, there was a lot of things that I was like, wait, what? These are not the same thing, you know? So
I'm playing too much of the TCG.
Played too much of it. Anyway, me and Ruckman talked about our choices. It was actually a really, really good Patreon exclusive. So go ahead and check that out. And then if you guys don't mind, we usually do a mailbag, but go ahead and fill out your PK diagram and throw it in the Patreon channel for us so that we can talk about it with you guys in there, right? Have some fun with it. We'd love to go over y'all's sometime, see what y'all thought of ours. Maybe we'll post ours in there as well. And then last thing was Fire Shoes clarified on Twitter that this upcoming RCQ season is standard. And then, of course, it will feed into Dallas, which is going to be confirmed to be a DreamHack and standard. Those are all things that we kind of knew. He just kind of put them all together because the first sheet has come out of like how you qualify. So he tweeted a picture of that to put all that together for us. So, you know, the big topic this week, Ricky, is something that came up on the Blogatog.
Oh, we love that.
Everybody's seen, right? The Blogatog, Mark Rosewater talking about the possibility of Pioneer Horizons. But before we jump into that, we got a few starter topics here for us today.
Number one,
where we would usually talk about the metagame, right? The 96 player cap, I think, got returned to 64 for some events. And I didn't confirm if Pioneer was one of them or not, but I know that with the holidays, a lot of the events over the weekend didn't fire.
I mean, the holidays, plus you've got the big cube.
Yeah.
The vintage cube, right?
Vintage cube going on.
Mm-hmm. So, like, I mean, those two things alone going to take people away from playing.
Yep.
The same old, right?
That's exactly right. So, that being said, we still haven't, because between taking a week off for the holidays and Ricky's sickness, we have not gotten the Ricky Atlanta recap.
Atlanta happened.
Yeah.
It was a blast.
Those facts.
It was a blast. It was the most fun I've ever had losing a lot of Magic the Gathering.
Sure. Sure. I know my boy Ricky. He likes to win. You know?
He's having fun
when he's winning.
And then it was the greatest plague I've ever lived through afterwards. Oh my God.
Yeah, everybody got sick, right?
I don't know. I kept scanning that COVID card and it was like, nah, bro. Not COVID, just regular sick.
Yeah.
Just regular death.
Regular sick. Yeah.
I like still have a cough. I don't know. I brought a mask and I was gonna wear it, but then everybody else was like not wearing a mask and talking to me and stuff, so I was like, Denver, I'll wear a mask. And you can still talk to me if I'm wearing a mask. You can still come up to me. I'll still sign your cards. I'll still hand you stickers. I will just wear a mask with Space Godzilla on it.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it's kind of one of those things where, you know, again, the mask mostly protects other people from you. And so the common sense thing is, as somebody kind of pointed out, like, don't go if you're sick. Don't get everybody else sick.
Right.
It's not worth it. You know, I've seen a lot of people just go like, oh, it started off feeling like allergies And that's kind of a hard one, but it's like, hey, if you have allergies, then wear a mask, right? Like at the very least until you know that you're sick, right? That's the way that you know,
I just feel like
should work, and wearing a mask is always just safe, and much respect to walking around, but it's also, especially in Texas, it's so hot, you know? So we kind of learn more now and how to treat things. And yeah, like you said, unless you get one of the really powerful masks, right? Maybe do an N95, keep yourself sick from other people.
It's not like, you know, it's just a small preventative, right?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So might as well, especially with that, right?
Exactly. Other than that though, like, I mean, it was a blast. We went and played. It's the largest RC.
Yeah.
Ever.
1300 players.
Over 1300 players. 13, like it was like 1365 or something like that.
Yeah.
Amazing turnout, right?
Mm-hmm.
So many players that they ran round 10 on the same day for some reason.
Yeah.
And that was kind of miserable for those, like for all of us there.
Yeah.
Just cause like you had to stick around. Like your buddy made day two, and then it's like, well, you got to stick around and play one more to see if your morale will actually carry into day two.
Right.
That being said, I went 1-3 very quickly and to 1-4, which was good for day two. I won a Phoenix matchup. I played very poorly in a Rakdos matchup. That I should have played better in. Not that I should have won. I should have played better in. And like I made a very bad scry. I scryed a treasure cruise to the bottom. Like in the matchup with Thoughtseize. Because I already had a treasure cruise. But like
yeah.
I need a treasure cruise to get through the Rakdos matchup, right? So
that's a hard one. I feel like we've discussed that before. Where it's like the problem is that like when you're sitting there with a second treasure cruise in your hand that you can't cast. It's so bad. Right. You know? But definitely, like, in that early game, it's a tough decision. You know what I'm saying? Like, especially against the Thoughtseize decks, I think you're right, where it's like it's better to greed for more because you never know when your other one's going away if it's turns 1 and 2 where you're setting up for a 3 or 4, right?
Right.
But that card can definitely win you the game.
I had double Brotherhood's End in my hand, and I got go blanked in game 3 and definitely should have held one. Opponent knew one was there because of a Thoughtseize.
Mm-hmm.
So I should have discarded one for sure, but I ended up keeping a opt over the Brotherhood's End.
Mm-hmm.
And then with two Brotherhood's End in the yard, especially an open deck list where my opponent knows like, well, that's
both sweepers. Yeah.
Like they're Cinderclasm, like maybe, right?
Yeah.
They just flooded the board. And if I had a Brotherhood's End, we're in the clear, but.
Sure.
Without it, we died to the aggro plan, right? So
yep.
That was just a complete misplay on my part. We lost to Amalia combo.
Right.
Did not actually, and like that's the lesson of this weekend, and it's unfortunate. Wasn't enough time really to play test, but I generally like to, the Monday before a big event like the RC, I lock in my list, and I'm just like, done thinking about changing cards.
Right.
I'll practice with like 75 I have, but I will not change any more cards. I don't want to second guess myself going into the event. Probably not a great strategy for this event with as little time as I had to prep after the bannings and stuff like that, right? Like Amalia coming up and stuff like that. I just sort of looked at the deck. Like we did a big playtesting session the weekend before. During that weekend is when Amalia was breaking out on MTGO. We weren't paying attention. And then that Monday came. There's this new Amalia deck that's popping off. And then I just looked at it and I was like, I can beat that deck. I have spot removal. And you just can't. Like, spot removal will not win that game. It's a very difficult matchup, in my opinion, for Phoenix, unless you have like very specific cards for it.
Right.
It's very hard to race them. That's the problem, is like your spot removal is fine, but like they are gaining so much like incidental life that like it's really hard to push back enough pressure to actually end the game.
Yep.
Before they can get to another card that lets them do it again.
Yes.
So it's sort of I later sat down after I was eliminated from the tournament. I sat down with another Amalia player.
Mm-hmm.
And just jammed games and like lost like every single game.
Sure.
Like it was just not even close. I played against Lotus. That's just an unwinnable matchup.
Yeah, it's very difficult. Yeah.
Try as you might, you know.
Yeah.
You cannot Narset's Reversal a Dragon Lord Dramoka.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Narset doesn't have much to say about that one.
I thought I had him in game three. Just sort of like they hadn't drawn any cards. Like they knew I had Mystical Dispute. And they played their Thespian stage, mm-hmm. tapped for four mana, and cast Hidden Strings. And I was like, maybe they're going to like reversal me here. I don't know what they're going to do. I was like, I'll cast Mystical Dispute on your Hidden Strings.
Yeah.
And then they're just like, oh, end my turn. And I was like, oh man, like I'm going to like off to the races, right?
Right. Sure. Yeah.
They should have just copied and had two Lotus Fields, right?
Yeah.
Like I get two Phoenixes on board, attack for six, pass to you. They just copy and pass.
Mm-hmm.
Three cards left in their hand. It's just like, I can't lose. I've got Narset's Reversal in my hand. Like, I've got right. two Phoenixes in play. Attack for six, pass. They just untap, go Dragon Lord Dramoka. And it's just like, that's the game.
Yeah.
Can't win now, you know?
Yeah.
That's, Seven toughness is a little rough, you know?
That's a hard one to get through with red cards, right? Yeah.
So, ultimately, and I lost to a very sick four color. It was five color. They cut the fifth color. That's what they told me.
Okay.
They were playing Plarg, so they could mind rot at instant speed on opponent's draw step. But it was a four color Grease Fang deck that was playing like all Legends.
Yes.
And Smuggler's Copter.
Mm-hmm.
So it got to play Plaza of Heroes, so its mana was fine. It got to play like Skrelv. Like game one just went like Skrelv, Thalia, into Rafine.
Yeah.
And I was pretty cooked. I answered the Skrelv, couldn't answer the Thalia, and then they discarded a Barhelion and then made a Grease Fang.
Yeah, I'm looking at this deck list that you're texting me.
It was a viewer of the show.
Mm-hmm.
I edited out their name in the picture because I was going to post it to... I didn't want to like put them on blast or anything. But now I feel bad because I don't remember their name.
Deck list. It was a deck list during the RC, so yeah.
Right. But they were playing Thalia, Shieldred, Skrelv, Ronas, Rafines, Grease Fangs, Parhelion 2, Smuggler's Copter, Asika's Chariot, Mox Amber, Sky Sovereign, and Bitter Triumph. And 22 lands. Their sideboard was really hot. They had Unmoored Egos.
Sure. Double black seems interesting.
Dark Betrayal, which seems like a really good card at the time. And two Urza's Ruinous Blast.
Isn't that a 5-mana legendary sorcery or something like that?
5-mana legendary sorcery that exiles all non-legendary, non-land cards.
Oh, wow. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And it's 4 Rakdos, right? You just get...
Adios.
All of their stuff. Like, all their fables, yeah.
You don't get the reflection, super though. Super sick legendary, deck, for sure. Yeah.
I got absolutely clobbered in the main event. Was not prepared for Amalia. And the like Lotus Field deck is going to be just a dead ringer. Misplayed against Rakdos. But I had a ton of fun meeting a ton of people, handing out a ton of stickers, signing Phoenixes. And then I played the replay event the next day, the Pioneer 10K.
Yeah.
I did a little better. I went 3-3.
Okay. Did you feel like you learned from like yesterday's thing? Because I
rebuilt my entire deck.
Yeah.
I rebuilt my entire deck. Thing in the Ice is so bad against Amalia.
Right.
Because they just replay all their guys and gain all their life again. And like you're never getting through again. Like their life is never low enough that like the 7 damage matters.
Sure.
So like I went for like more of a Ledger Shredder. And I played 2 of the Torch of the Tower.
Yeah, to exile stuff.
Uh-huh. I played Young Pyromancers in my sideboard.
Sure.
Ashiok. That card was actually insane. 3 mana.
Mill and Exile? Hybrid,
the hybrid Ashiok.
Yeah, Mills and Exiles. The 3 mana
Players
one?
Can't search libraries? Yeah.
Yeah.
That card's very good.
That's some hot tech. Yeah, it exiles yards, and then players can't search libraries. Wow, that's huge.
That card was really good, but I teched for Amalia.
Sure.
But the problem is all the Amalia players...
We're still playing the main event.
We're still playing the main event day two.
Yeah, I played
zero Amalia in the six rounds I played.
Of course, of course.
I did play against a lot of Rakdos Sacrifice. And my Ledger Shredders looked really stupid.
Yeah.
Into Claim the Firstborns.
But your other options don't look as good either. You know what I'm saying? Like, Thingness isn't great there either sometimes, you know?
My Torch the Towers looked real bad against Mayhem Devil and Smuggler's Copter.
Sure. Yeah.
So, like, it felt very, like, I felt like the Phoenix deck, either you just have to, like, I don't know, we have to find new ways to beat Amalia, or, like, we're stretched too thin. I think the, like, the threats in the format are a little more diverse, and it's harder to, like, kind of keep ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I lost to a lot of ley lines, which Raksak just plays four of.
Sure.
Which makes sense, because with Smuggler's Copter and Inti and Fable, like, you're never stuck with a dead ley line.
Right.
If you draw them later, you just dump them to Smuggler's Copter, and, like, free and easy down the road we go, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You never, like, draw bricks anymore because of how much looting you get to do. I do think that, like, Raksak and, like, the Rakdos deck that plays Inti are both, like, extremely solid decks right now. I think Smuggler's Copter is a huge player in the format right now. And I definitely felt, you know, I felt unprepared for the meta that appeared, for sure.
I think that's tough, though. I think that, like, thing one is you really have to spend dedicated time testing for the event, not just doing, like, generic testing. You know what I'm saying? We're like, I feel like step one for, like, any listeners that are thinking about tackling some competitive events is, like, you have to learn your own deck. And Spike talked about this on his last stream, where he was like, oh, you can't lock in an event, lock in a deck more, you know, like a week before, you know, a week or more before. You kind of got to, like, lock a deck in, like, the week leading up to an event with proper testing. And I think that depends. I think the newer you are, like, just knowing your deck, especially in a pool, probably not an RC quality tournament, but maybe even there, I feel like that, you know, if you know your deck, you'll have a better place than a lot of people, right, who are kind of just last minute wobbling back and forth. Because the best players not only know their deck, but then they know what everybody else's deck does and are really prepared for the matchups, right? LSV famously stated, if you play one land, I can probably write down your deck list, right? You know? But I feel like that's kind of that next level of, like, you know, well, whatever it is. I don't think there's anything wrong with having a deck that, like, you play well, pilot well, and bring that. That was just a very difficult situation to be in, where, like, the whole metagame was wild, right? Like, there were copters galore, right? And people were ready for that. People, like, thought copter was going to be better, but really it was Amalia, you know?
I mean, just, like, testing for weeks before the ban announcement happened against Mono Green, Quintorius, Geological Appraiser,
yep,
and Convoke.
Yep.
And then even after the ban announcement, still testing against Convoke. And, like, these are decks that just were not doing, they weren't there, right?
Yeah.
Literally banned out of the game, or were beat down so much in the meta by other decks right now that, like...
This is, I think, going to be one of the hardest metagames we ever had to deal with, though. So I just feel like this is one where there's not much you could do.
I'm going to say it's not that hard of a metagame. I mean, I'm just playing locals, but I'm currently, like, for the past 3 weeks, just X and one with Amalia at locals. It's just so free.
Sure, sure.
Deck is so strong.
The deck is very, very strong. Yeah, I think it's fun. I think pretty much all the boys have most of it together at this point. So, I don't know. I may even play it in modern. Like, it's actually a modern playable deck to some extent. It seems kind of fun, but... Standard's coming up. I mean, do you have any plans for what you're going to play in Standard? Are you going to stick with Domain, or what are you doing there?
Standard, I'm off Domain 110%.
Okay.
I've been playing a lot of decks. I'm playing the Groll Combat Tricks deck.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That deck, like, eats Domain just, like, for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Nice. Okay. It's like, I
have. Like, you just have to beat, like, their one ley line, like, one Royal Treatment, and you have to be faster before the Sunfall comes.
Sure.
And you can do that pretty easily in that deck. Like if they play, like if they take turn two off to like play like up the beanstalk or something like that, like you just get to like chunk them for like 12 damage and stuff like that.
Sure. Sure.
Then I'm also into the Azorius artifact deck.
Okay.
Have you seen that one running around?
I haven't. I've seen like the Flash deck, the Domain deck, and then I've seen some Legends running around.
There's like Esper is like the big dog right now.
Okay.
Like Esper midrange. It like makes all the tokens. It plays the white Virtue.
Yes.
It plays like Shieldred. It plays Raphine.
Mm-hmm.
All those cards just sort of generates a ton of advantage, just a bunch of pieces of cardboard on the table.
Sure.
And tries to like run you over with that, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then it also gets like go for the throat and cut down, which just lets you mess removal spells, right?
Mm-hmm.
The artifact deck is like playing, you get to play four Thran Spider, which is the 2/4 that makes both you and your opponent a Power Stone.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And you get to play four of this Fabrication Foundry, which is a 2-mana artifact that taps for white to play artifacts.
Okay.
And you get to play the Iron Craig. So you get to play
Mind Stone,
You get to play like 9 2- or 3-mana ramp spells.
Mm-hmm.
And then like you just play a bunch of artifacts or cards that generate you artifacts. Unstable Glyph Bridge is an amazing sweeper. Each player selects one creature with power 2 or less and sacrifices the rest.
Okay. Yeah.
And then you just win the game with Thousand Moon Smithy.
Sure. Yeah. That's one way to do it.
Flip Urza, because you play 4 Mightstone Meekstone.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Flip Urza. What a baller move that is, huh?
Yeah. I mean,
that sounds like a fun standard to me, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Where's my Bruna Gisela?
It is a it's a sick deck. Urza has a lot of abilities on the back of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then also liking the Simic Map deck.
Simic Maps, huh?
Yeah, you have like the 1-mana 1/2 that gets a counter every time you make a artifact.
Okay.
ETB. You have like Siren that makes the map.
Yeah.
You have the 3-drop that makes the map on ETB and attack.
Mm-hmm. You have a 3-mana 3/4 Sentinels of the Lost City or something like that.
Yeah, you have like the 2-drop that says whenever you explore, if you hit the land, you can put it into play. And if you don't hit the land, she also gets a counter.
Okay.
Like you just sort of try to go bigger.
Call this deck Nor the Explorer, huh?
Oh, yeah. That deck's kind of fun, too. But Standard's really exciting. I'm also just focusing on Modern right now, too.
Sure.
Because I got to play in RC Denver.
Yes.
And that's the first weekend of February.
Woo, it's all coming up here, you know?
It's a little tight. I think that...
So what are you going to change real quick? Because we need to get into resolutions and then our big topic. Yeah. But what do you think you're going to change, if anything, about your testing process from, you know, Atlanta to Denver?
I think that Denver is going to be a lot easier to test for.
This is, probably majorly true, right? The bans happened months before the tournament, not the week and a half before, right?
That and, like, the people I am going with are all pretty convinced on one top deck, and we're all going to play it.
Okay, I like that. I think that's another fun way to, like...
Which means that, like, even if I don't have the time to get all the testing done myself, if I can just watch them...
Yeah.
And I can learn from them, and I can learn from other people who are also playing that deck, right?
Yeah.
Modern is also kind of like a more closed meta.
Sure.
Right? It's like the same 8 cards, like 7 ways. It's like Taco Bell, you know? Well,
it's Modern Horizons cards.
Right.
If you know Modern Horizons, then you know, for the most part, right, with the exception of maybe Amulet Titan, which is kind of unchanged over years.
Right.
But for the most part, the Modern Horizons block is what serves it up. And like you said, I think that's one thing that I would be interested about Modern is that there's a lot of players, so many players play it, that like we have some people that we really trust that could fill me in pretty quickly on what I need to do against certain decks, you know?
Right. Now the deck is like kind of tight, but like also it plays a lot of cards that I have played in the past in a very similar combination. So
Preordain.
No, we're not playing dang, Preordain. Okay.
suddenly legal Preordain. All right, well, are you ready to jump into 2024 resolutions?
Yes.
Okay, Ruckman has his. I'm going to pull those up. If you don't mind going over yours first.
All right. I have some resolutions.
Okay.
That are magic related.
Yes. Yeah. These are our 2024, I assume, magic related resolutions, you know?
I like to make lots of resolutions on New Year's.
Okay.
I like to make small ish, One of them is kind of a biggish goal. Smallish goals that are defined enough that I can't like fail them quickly.
Sure.
I want it to like not be something that like if you make the resolution, I'm going to go to the gym 4 times a week.
Like, right. You could fail that on week one.
Yeah, you could fail that on week one, right? Like a personal resolution that is not magic related is that I am not going to be eating out alone.
Okay. Okay.
And so that's a rule that like has to be broken actively to fail that, right?
Sure, sure.
So like that's not a, I can't just sleep in one day and mess that one up, right?
Sure. Yeah.
I want to stream half of the weeks of the year at least.
Okay.
So that would be, that's easy. That's just, I'd like to ideally stream 3 Wednesdays a month, but if I can at least make 2 Wednesdays a month, that will be my goal, right?
I love that. I want to say a little bit on that. Like 2023 was a really good year for Crew 3 when it comes to our engagement across platforms. So,
sure. So
definitely, you know, there's going to be some goals in here about content creation, because we definitely feel like we, with the momentum we had, we definitely left a little bit on the table for 2023, but a lot of that was for life stuff, right? We all have full-time jobs. We, you know, got married, all kinds of things in the last couple of years. So a lot of it was busy related that hopefully it's calming down, but we had a lot of success in 2023. And I know Ruckman has some feelings on that as well. So anyway, I just wanted to say that. What else you got for us?
I want to be more prepared for our podcast.
Okay, sure.
Just sort of like, even just like being there like 30 to 45 minutes before go time to like go over things and really be more informed on the topics that we're doing,
okay,
rather than just sort of like shooting from the hip.
Okay. Sure. That can happen. Yeah. I think sometimes we have long discussions like the days leading up, and then definitely there are some topics that just because they're so hot, like they come out so close before and we feel like we need to cover them. They can definitely be, you know, thrown in, but you know, that could be potentially solved by a pre-show meeting if we had more time.
And I want to day 2 in RC.
Okay. Yeah.
Getting to the RC, I've proven that I can do that.
Right.
I have fallen on my face every time at the RC, and I need to not do that. So that's I want to focus more on the RCs and actually just, you know, at least day 2 1 this year.
I think that's a solid goal. I think, again, you know, your results are not all everything. Again, we're so busy. You know, not only do you play, but you also do, again, we do a lot of content creation around, you know, Pioneer. So you certainly made me and Ruckman proud. You know, we think the world of you, and super, super happy to get to talk to you every week. Super great to call you a best friend forever. So.
And I'm going to show the Wright brothers what for at WrestleMania this year. You know,
yeah.
They're not going to make a fool out of me.
No, of course not.
Those are my resolutions.
Heck yeah. All right, let me go over Ruckman's real quick.
Yeah.
Ruckman's resolutions, so you can hold them to it. He wants to make it to locals at least twice a month. Right.
That's a good resolution. You know?
Yeah, I think for Ruckman, obviously being you know, recently married, and me being married for longer, like play more Magic is just a good goal.
Right.
You know, get to play more. I think it's going to hopefully become even easier as time goes on with it coming to online platforms and potentially the breaking down of some barriers where we can play with the people that we trust the most. Cause like in my city, like everybody that I know, including Nate, lives south. So like we started a Pioneer revolt because some people stopped carrying it, even though there was some good stuff, but I live so far north in my city that like, I'm like, golly, I can't drive 2 hours south.
You might as well just go to Dallas.
You're exactly right. That's the thing. By the time I'm 2 hours south, I could just drive to San Antonio, right? Like the trip from where they're going to San Antonio is like an extra 45 minutes. And I'm just like, you know, that's going to be a hard one. So thing number 2 for Ruckman, I love this one. Take this year to relearn enjoying Magic and not be singularly results focused.
I think that's the most important thing. I think that it's really easy to go to Atlanta, to go 1-4. After putting in a lot of work and be upset. But I can tell you that I'm not upset.
That's good. I don't know that I can tell you that was the case about 4 hours afterwards, according to Twitter. But
I was proud of that. That was despair.
Sure.
Which is different from enjoyment. I enjoyed my time on the trip. I enjoyed, and most of it is because of our fan base.
Yeah.
To be 120% honest, if it wasn't for people stopping me, asking for stickers, letting me sign their worthless Phoenixes, and you know, doing things like that, it would have I would have been pretty bummed about my performance. But because I got to hang out with a lot of friends, I got to see some other people that I went with do very well, which was very exciting, and just hang out with a bunch of really cool people that have listened to our show every week, and that was worth it, you know?
No, I absolutely love to hear that. Yeah, I think, you know, with Ruckman on that, I think, you know, it can magic can certainly be frustrating, right? And right. So I think that's one of those things that I would really love to see Ruckman take on, because Ruckman's so jovial. Like, Ruckman is just, you know, I just love this man so much. I mean, he's just so great in everything that he does. He's so smart. He's really dedicated outside. He really finds motivation in things. And that day that he unlocks that superpower of like taking that deep breath in the game, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's going to be unstoppable. I'm not sure we should let him do it, because then he's going to be unstoppable. He's going to be too powerful for us when something like that happens. And then his third one was put out at least two videos a month that isn't the podcast.
Ooh.
So exciting. maybe we can help him out with that one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I think my biggest, I don't know what to call these resolutions, but like you said, I think steps I want to take when life becomes less busy is I've had what I feel like are some really good ideas and some really good, I don't know, like steps towards like content creation in different ways and just things that I enjoy, right? Like, anybody that listens to us, we don't do this. We do this because we like it, right? It's something right. We're passionate about. We're hanging out with our friends. It's a connection with our friends, right? This is not our full-time job or anything. So
no.
It's something that I just want to find the motivation for. What's that?
And I don't want it to be.
Right. It takes the fun. That's the thing for me is like sometimes when I do it, I feel like it feels too much like a job. And so I really want to find that passion for, you know, for it and just not have it feel like, cause I know it isn't right.
Right.
But I really want it to just like not feel like a job and that motivate me to do more of those things. And maybe it'll just help having Ruckman to work with or you to work with where we make something like that or, you know, have some fun that way. And then last, I want to be recognized as not just Ruckman. If I go anywhere, if I go anywhere, people are always like, what's up, Ruckman? And I'm like, hey, I don't know what to, like, sometimes I feel awkward correcting people because I'm like, hey, if this is the only time we're going to talk, I'm just, that's great. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
sure.
What's the difference? I'll be Ruckman's son. But I'm you'd think for a guy with giant numbers tattooed on my arms.
Right.
But you don't see my arms in the video podcast or really ever. Right. So right. I think my, you know, increased ink content on my body.
It's because you both wear Pokemon hats.
Yeah. I started by
you
the way.
You both this have is my the same thing. Drip always, actually. You always actually match to every big event we go to. You guys either both wear the Pokemon hats or you both do like the suit and the cowboy hat.
Yeah. Well, I look up to Ruckman so much in everything else. He looks up to me in fashion.
Right,
you know,
right.
He looks at me and he says, that's peak performance right there. Right, that's right. What I want to look like. So, you know, that's what's going on there. So, all right, Ricky, are you ready to jump into the big news of the last couple of days?
The big news.
The big news, as it were.
I don't. Let's get into it.
Let's get into it. It's happening whether you want it to or not, right? It was right, discussed. Right. It happened on Mark Rosewater's Blogatog. And let's preface this, right? We need to know two things going into this. The Blogatog has a set of questions that are asked where Mark Rosewater will be asked if/when, and then a question, right?
Right.
So that you get an update on, oh, if this is going to happen or something is for sure going to happen, but it's a when question.
Right.
Right. So, that's how some questions are formed. This was one of those questions. You know, I don't know if somebody said, I don't know if it's an if or a when Pioneer Horizons is coming. And Mark Rosewater responded, it's definitely an if, not a when, but it is a definite possibility. That's what Mark Rosewater said. Mark Rosewater then went on to clarify that it's just because if there was a set beyond modern that was going to get a Horizon set, then of course it would be Pioneer, right? You're unlikely to get Standard. You already have Commander, Horizons with all the direct, direct sets. So it was kind of him just saying, well, it was the most logical, right, conclusion to come from with based on the way that we do formats right now. But that was an afterthought. His first response was, it's a definite possibility. So let's talk about, right, we've set up the, hey, if, when, right, why, all right. The qualifiers. But what is a horizon set, Ricky? What's a horizon set versus what is a master set? What do those two things mean?
A master set is reprinting cards that need reprints in an eternal format.
Sure, sure.
In theory.
Yep, in theory. Or, right, so we've seen so far.
It's a time to charge $300 for booster boxes of bulk rares.
Yeah. Can be that opportunity as well. More of a Hasbro decision probably than an R&D decision. So then what is a horizon set, Ricky?
A horizon set is when you want to power creep a format.
Sure. It's a way to charge $300 a box for not bulk rares, right?
Right. It's a way that you can effectively what they've used it for, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is, and this is going to be, are ready for big cynical time?
I'm ready.
All right. Your Wizards of the Coast, right?
I am. Okay, great. I have billions of dollars.
The kids can't get enough of this format called Modern.
Yeah.
It's the hottest stuff, right?
Yeah, it is.
And every time they buy Tarmogoyfs and Dark Confidants and Splinter Twins and Scapeshifts to play their Modern format, you make no money.
Oh, well, that can't happen.
No.
I am Hasbro CEO now.
So what you do is you go, we'll reprint all those cards in a booster pack.
Yep.
And we'll sell it to them for twice the price, $8 a pack, right?
Okay, okay.
And you do that, and that happens.
How many times can I get away with that, though?
You can get away with that at least 3 to 4 times.
Okay.
And you've done that. But then what do I do? You've increased the pack of the price, or the price of the pack.
Right.
But now
I lowered the value of the card. So now I need
modern players.
Yeah.
Are still playing their Modern. They still love Modern.
Yeah, they do.
They're very mad at you for reprinting all of their cards and like making a lot of the lower value cards low value and making the higher value cards even higher value. I don't know if you know this, but when Modern Horizons reprinted Tarmogoyf, it increased the price of Tarmogoyf.
Isn't that wild?
It's because a lot of people opened one Tarmogoyf and then needed to buy 3 more Tarmogoyf.
Yeah, right. Sure, sure.
All
right.
So now you're like, I've got a new idea. Instead of lowering our reprint equity, which is a word that we know and which is a word that we use and we have accountants to calculate, but we don't know what it is.
No,
we can't tell them we know.
Right.
We can't tell them we know what that is.
Right. It's an unknown unknown.
What if we could keep them coming back for packs? What if we printed cards that are just better than all the old cards? That way they can play their Modern, but only if they buy it from us.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
And
direct-to-consumer formats.
Modern Horizons 1 and 2 were formed. They were, we can't keep reprinting Tarmogoyf and selling expensive packs to you. So we'll just sell you expensive packs filled with new cards that are just better than the other cards. So you have to buy them.
Yeah, the we're a little skeptical on the diversity complaint. And just like people, when I said, man, Pioneer's a great format 6-7 months ago, people were like, well, now that's kind of how I feel when people are like, no, Modern's a great format, I promise, you know. And I'm like, come on, you know. So if we're getting made fun of it, it kind of went the other way around, too, because it's, you know.
So
people finally agreed before the Fury ban about how bad it was. And it still doesn't seem that great, to be honest. A lot of people were still
you
like,
can't get griefed because they banned Fury.
Oh, right. Of course. It's a twofer.
Yeah. Nobody would ever still play like one mana double Thoughtseize ever.
Right.
That leaves behind a 3-2, a 4-3 menace.
Yep.
They couldn't do that without grief, without Fury.
Without Fury,
right?
Sure.
Anyways, all that aside, like, I used to love Modern.
Yeah.
Before Horizon sets.
We both did, right? We are older school players, right?
And I don't believe that the format that is Modern now is anywhere close to what Modern used to be when I enjoyed it.
That's true. I think a lot of people are okay with that, which I understand, and I do understand the, hey, we do want to add more interaction to the format. Sure. I understand that as a statement. I think that we've kind of, you know, they've just kind of interacted with your wallet is what they've kind of done.
Right.
And I think that's kind of the problem is like, hey, like I'm just, I like that you have answers to things. I'm just not sure they should be free. I'm just not sure they need to be free answers.
Well, my thought is really, and what drew me to Pioneer, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that I'm like the best deck creator at all.
Sure.
By any means. I think I'm less of an innovator and more of a honer, right?
Sure. Sure.
And I liked the idea that we were playing this huge pool of cards that spanned like literally a decade, right?
Yeah.
And that, oh wow, did they just print some random uncommon? Did they just print a bulk rare into standard that breaks Pestermite?
Right. Sure.
Like, yeah. Wow. Like, yeah. That's so cool, right?
Yep.
These cards that nobody would ever think of playing together are really good, right?
Yeah.
And I liked that. I kind of liked scrounging through older sets and being like, wait a minute. This unplayable Sword of the Meek is like an infinite value engine if I sack it to Thopter Foundry, which is an also unplayable card, right?
Yeah.
So I liked that kind of interaction of like cards in like the card pool. I liked just like, oh, well, we've built up a critical mass of fast red mana cards. So we can just play a deck that tries to put the best red 5-drop into play on turn one and hope that gets us there, right?
Yep.
And a format like that definitely needs bans and it needs to be curated, but like, it's interesting and it makes each set you can kind of sift through and you'll find weird interactions that just might be the next best deck, right? But that doesn't happen anymore in Modern because they just print the best cards and they go, here's the best cards, play them. And there's not really, I mean, like kind of with like Yawgmoth, right? There's some interactions, but the interactions are all mostly with just the new best cards, right? They're like shipped to you. Right? Direct to your door.
That they are.
Like, here's Ragavan. It's just the best one drop. You know, here's Fury. It's free and it wipes the board.
And yep. Like,
you guys have figured out the Cascade interaction. So here's a better Cascade card in Shardless Agent. And here are better cards to Cascade into, like Crashing Footfalls, right?
Sure.
So just sort of that mentality of just like printing the better cards, like these cards are just better than other cards that we've printed before,
mm-hmm.
is kind of just sort of not really interesting or fun, right?
Yeah, I will say that I think that if there's good news on this, it's that the initial reaction was really, really poor, such that Rosewater offered an additional clarification on the blog answer, on the blog post for it. And again, I think all those things are true. I think, unfortunately, a lot of it comes down to, you know, you question, are they fixing the format? Are they, you know, are they trying to add interaction? What's the real purpose here? Because people were having plenty of fun previously, right? Modern's always been one of the most popular formats. So, and a lot of people are turned off by the Modern Horizons thing. Very few people are turned on by it unless you started playing Modern more recently, you know?
Right.
Nothing wrong with that because it's all you've known, you know? And I think, again, if there's a savior for Pioneer right now, it's that Standard has so much impact, right? Amalia is still a combo. So I think Wizards still gets their money because we're buying Standard packs, right? We're buying Standard cards.
I mean, so Quintorius is cards, still a combo.
What's that?
Quintorius is still a combo.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, right? There's a lot of things that, you know, come out of Standard sets and the metagame has evolved in the 3 years we've done this. It doesn't look that much similar, right? We said initially one of the pillars is, can you beat, you know, a turn 2/5/5? And that clock is probably not good enough now, you know?
Right.
Like you need to have a really solid interaction available or be winning the game on turn 4 or 5, right? In its entirety through other people's interactions. So, you know, or you're a big over the top deck, right? Lots of answers, you know, an Enigmatic Incarnation, a Bring to Light, something like that. So I feel like the metagame has changed a ton, And like you said, it's been fun to, you know, some decks obviously are not as good as they were because power's kind of being, you know, standard's kind of being power crept in its own way, right? We had a massive bannings in Theros, massive bannings in
Eldraine.
Thank you. Was the other set I was kind of thinking of. So, you know, again, with some of the fire design stuff and just them like taking on more powerful cards, mostly more powerful creatures. What's that?
A massive errata.
Yeah, to companion. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Something like that. So,
like, I think that just ultimately I enjoy the kind of gameplay that Pioneer creates where, yes, very much in fact, ruining my opponent's entire hope of ever playing the game on turn one because I won the die roll with double grief is more powerful than turn one Land of War Elf.
Yeah. Right? Right.
But now turn one Land of War Elf is an interesting, like, oh, well, can I start making my game plan get into action? Like, or do I need to kill that elf? Do I play this Thoughtseize to try to hit, like, the card they're going to ramp into? Or do I play the Fatal Push and try to get the use the Thoughtseize on a later turn, right?
How wild was it that Jerry Thompson was right in that Treasure Cruise was fine?
Yeah, Treasure Cruise is a fine card.
Right. Like, it just if you don't have fetch lands, then Treasure Cruise isn't actually that bad of a card. Now, again, you also don't have the mill to draw one.
Right.
Mental note.
Thought Scour.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it had a reprint version as well. So there's a lot of things you know, you don't have to make that card, but like that card functions fine in this format. And again, you know, we'll see how it goes, but maybe 5-6 years from now we'll want or need a Pioneer Horizons as a, you know, injection into the format, because again, what can you say about Modern? It's incredibly popular, right? Still the most popular, I think, because it's also one of the most longevity, one of the longest running formats. Standard, I think, had kind of mostly died. People just didn't like what was going on there. Legacy had a massive barrier to entry, and you know, all you needed to play Modern was Modern Horizons 2 cards, right? Or 1 cards to some extent. So,
well, the big thing is that ultimately, right?
Mm.
People didn't want to play Standard. They had to, right?
Sure.
And I enjoyed playing it, right? But you aren't, like, with no GPs and, like, no SCGs, right?
Yeah.
Like, without really needing to play Standard, like, no PTQs, right?
Yeah.
There was no reason to play it. And then if you're just playing non-competitively at, like, FNM, right?
Yeah.
It makes sense to play like Modern because everybody's cards can show up and be quote Modern, or you can buy a box of Modern Horizons 2 and you have most of a Modern deck, right?
Yeah.
So like it made sense that like Modern would be the most popular format. And I think that we could get there with Pioneer. I think we've got a lot of people that are disenfranchised to the power level of Modern, that they're not having many actual games, right?
Mm-hmm.
That I think the breaking point is going to be Modern Horizons 3. Which comes out this year.
Yeah.
I feel like that's going to be like the crucible where we see if like Modern can handle the stress of 4 overpowered sets built specifically for overturning the entire format.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think we're going to see if people are willing to let go, right? If people are, or either makes it really good or if it's too much, like I said, are people just hanging on to it just because, or, you know, do people really enjoy the, you know, the insane power level, right? The almost legacy-esque power level of the cards.
Right. And then like, I mean, arguably, like Modern Horizons 1 brought us better Force of Will.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it can't be cast on, like, for your free on your turn, right?
Yeah, right.
But you can just pay 3 mana for it, right?
Right. Yep.
Paying 5 for Force is pretty rough, right?
Sure.
Like, we got things like the very unbalanced destroy 2 artifacts or enchantments for...
Yeah, Force of Vigor.
Like, which is a card that is supposed to put you down because it's free, but it puts you even.
Yep.
Because it hits 2.
Yeah, I watched that played against Nate, and it's really just... It's really blowout. That card probably just needed to be kill an artifact, you know? The fact right. that it kills 2 is, like, really, really, really nuts.
I think it hits enchantments, too.
Yeah, it does.
Artifacts or enchantments, yeah.
It does, but the big one is obviously it kills, you know, amulets, everything you're trying to do with hardened scales, right? Because in modern hardened scales, you play not only the enchantment hardened scales, you're actually a Arcbound Ravager deck, right?
Right.
That's the big one. So, like, it definitely cleans up all those things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dress Down messes that deck up a ton because all your Saga tokens lose their power. Yeah, they lose their ability that makes them have power tokens equal to artifacts. They just die. So,
I mean, like, just like so many very powerful cards, even in just the first Modern Horizons, right? Hogak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know,
which got a lot of cards banned and then itself.
Yeah.
You know, even like cards, I mean, and cards that were power crept out by Modern Horizons 2, like cards like Aria of Flame. Like, you remember that card?
Yeah.
Like, that card saw a ton of play and it was just better than like any other weird Spellslinger card you could ever play. Like,
yeah, at the end of the day, too, I think you have to realize that, like, a decent chunk, not everybody, and it's fine to like both. I actually don't have any major problems with playing Modern or anybody that plays Modern. I'm, you know, it's there's a lot to do there, that's for sure, as far as, you know, cards in the block. But Pioneer is a place for a lot of people who don't or can't play Modern, to be honest with you. And so I think, you know, giving that the Modern treatment by throwing in a Horizon set would be a massive mistake. And I'm not even sure that I would want to see a Master set, but it might be more intriguing. I think just Standard's so powerful, it's hard for me to imagine, you know, certain cards being good, but I could definitely see cards like from an Innistrad or a Phyrexia, right? Mm-hmm. Something like that. OG Phyrexia making
so
it
like,
in.
I think when Modern Horizons was first announced,
mm-hmm.
people thought it was going to be, because they said it was going to be new cards plus bringing in cards from Legacy to Modern, right?
Yeah.
So everybody kind of thought it was going to be like half reprints
mm-hmm.
into the format and half new designs, right?
Yeah.
But it ended up being like 20%, 80%, right?
Yep. Yep.
And so, like, there is like this world where I think it's like, oh, we can just print a bunch of cards that are Modern legal only into Pioneer as a Horizon set.
Sure.
And that might be interesting, maybe, right?
Horizons or Master set?
A Horizon set that just prints like 100 cards from Modern into Pioneer.
Gotcha. That feels like a Master set, but I hear you.
But it's not a Master set, because a Master set's only reprints of cards. It doesn't add new cards to the format.
Yeah, it does. Master sets can add new cards. Just it can add new cards to reprints, right?
Modern Masters did not add a single new card to Modern in any three times. Eternal Masters also did not add new cards to Modern.
Oh, it just reprinted cards for value?
Just reprints, yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, like, if we had a set that was just like... But also the thing is, I think that's kind of boring, because the thing is, I think a lot of cards that used to be good in Modern could just probably be slowly printed back into Standard.
Sure. I mean, Liliana of the Veil.
Liliana of
right?
the Veil.
Yeah.
If you were to tell me that you could open up a box, open up a booster pack of a Standard set for $3 a pack, right? $4 a pack, and open Liliana of the Veil and be like upset that you pulled the wrong Black Mythic.
Sure. Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
You opened a $6 Liliana of the Veil, and you could have opened a $70 Shieldred.
Right, right, right.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, well, just like...
And again, that's something I'm a fan of. I really like that Planeswalkers are not as powerful. And that's one thing that I love about Pioneer. And again, I'm excited that we've gotten the Planeswalker static abilities the heck out of here. Because Planeswalkers plagued Magic the Gathering for too long, in my opinion.
Right.
And I think that they were cool initially, right? We all loved when OG, Jace, OG, Garrick, right? Like, these were strong cards, really, really strong cards, but they cost them appropriately because they were new card types.
We all loved plussing Jace the Mind Sculptor for 7 turns to try to win the game.
Obviously, I think that's where everything went downhill, right? Like, as soon as they were like, all right, let's see how aggressively we can cost these Planeswalkers, I think that just kind of, you know,
do you think today, like today's day and age, right?
Yeah.
Do you think Jace the Mind Sculptor makes the top 5 Planeswalkers?
Oh, gosh, ever printed?
Yeah.
I mean, you have to consider Commander cards, so no.
Like, it's like, no way, right?
No, I mean, like, Oko is probably number one, right? Running six, maybe number two.
Right. Like Karn, Three Fairy, Minsk and Boo.
Yeah. That's probably, like, that's probably actually my top five, you know?
You know? Like, I don't think Jace the Mind Sculptor is anywhere close to the best Planeswalker anymore.
Not anymore. No, no. Right? But I think that's a bad thing. I think that was so insanely powerful it got banned, and the fact that we've reprinted, or sorry, that we've added an additional, you know, five insane Planeswalkers to the game is right. not a good thing, right? Planeswalkers right. create a sub game, kill this or lose the game with the ultimate abilities that they had in the past. And so that's why, you know, that's the reason I really like Pioneer, right? It's about attacking and blocking. Planeswalkers are important, but are not everything.
Right.
You know?
And then Karn.
Karn, right. Well, I think the
Karn big got thing, to ultimate when you played him, and then also said, if you're playing artifacts, you lose.
Yeah, right. I think, again, those were bad designs, but like, I like the Wandering Emperor, right? I think we've kind of traveled in the right direction the last year and a half.
Wandering Emperor is kind of insanely powerful, too.
It's a very, very strong one, but it's not, you know, not everybody's rushing to put that in every deck they make.
Right.
You know, whereas like a Jace the Mind Sculptor, oh, you're in blue, you got to play it, you know?
Right. Three Fairy was a menace, still is if you play Modern. You know?
Yeah, that's a card that I'm so glad we got rid of. Right, again, it was just kind of became a like, hey, you landed this first. Well, great, your opponent can't play the game. Right, the control mirror became, you know, unconsciously terrible.
Right,
the whole thing was just bad. So,
right.
You know, again, I'm happy that the format is still being affected by standard cards. And the day that it doesn't, we might see that.
I'm just saying, Snapcaster could be just fine in Pioneer.
Yeah, like what's the it gets the best thing gets back is like a Thoughtseize or a Fatal Push right now, right?
Right. You know,
unless I'm you know, crazy. I mean, if you do a Turbo Mill, getting back a Treasure Cruise would be interesting.
Can you delve if you Snapcast?
I thought you could. Maybe that's a Ruckman question.
I thought
that you could pay for the spell.
Right.
Exiling cards from your yard.
I'm pretty sure you can't overload with Snapcaster.
No, I thought Delve was like one of the few things you could do.
Okay, because Delve just says when you cast, right?
I thought so.
And Snap again. And Flashback says cast this spell.
Tell us in the comments of the video. Yeah.
I'm going to make the call. I'm going to say you can delve your treasure.
Or in the episode discussion, what you think. And then, we kind of wrap up
the genius bar. And
we went over a lot of thoughts there for a while. Any final thoughts before we start to wrap it up here?
I think that a horizon set for Pioneer,
mm-hmm.
in which we are printing new cards specifically for the purpose of power creeping Pioneer. AKA a Modern Horizons 2
yep.
style set.
Or right? one. Yeah, with Hoback.
Or one, right? I'm a little more lenient on one because there's a lot of cards in one that just sort of were like not. I mean, like they did power creep the heck out of the set, mm-hmm. but they weren't obvious, right?
Force of Vigor was pretty obvious, but I hear you.
Force of Vigor and Force of Negation for sure. But like Hoback was not the most obvious card. It took a little bit.
It did, yeah. It did take long, but it took a little bit. Yeah.
Like, Urza was very powerful, very evidently powerful, right?
Yep.
But, like, it didn't, like, quite take over until it had, like, Opal, and it had, like, Astrolabe.
Astrolabe was the big one, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that card's also from Modern Horizons 1 and Ban. Never mind, I'll say both, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay,
Modern Horizons 1.
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
Like, something like that would be very bad. But I think I could be talked to calmly about a set of like 200 cards that are some reprints for the set, like some reprint cards. You know how like in Modern Horizons 2 they printed the fetch lands again, right?
Sure.
It'd be like, you know, we'll print the OG Triumphs or something, right?
Sure.
Like reprints mixed with like. Here are non-Horizons cards from Modern that see no play in Modern to put into the format, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Like, I could be talked into seeing, like, not right now or anything, but, like, a couple of years down the line, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we see a set that's, like, aiming to put Confidant, Snapcaster Mage, and Goyf into Pioneer.
What about, and real quick, I don't think we have enough time to talk about this, but what if they just did the remastered sets like they have them on Arena?
Huh?
But for Pioneer. It's like, what if we got Innistrad remastered OG for like Pioneer?
So that would just be like extending.
Maybe it's like an Aftermath set or something like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like maybe it's like a style set. Of just like, hey, boom, we're going to throw some cards we think are interesting from a set or, you know, a couple sets into these cards are cool and Pioneer legal. Maybe there's enough to draft. I'm not sure. Again, I'm not sure that the Pioneer base is strong enough right now to justify, so, which I think is a good thing right now. You know,
the I'm not sure. Trying thing to justify about Innistrad.
What's that?
The card we can't add from Innistrad, right? We can add Snapcaster, right? We can add we've already got Delver, right? We've already got Liliana.
Yeah.
Like, we could add Huntmaster. That card would be fine, right?
Yeah, I think so.
But we can't add Griselbrand.
Okay, sure. Sure.
I think in a format where it's exceptionally easy to get Atraxa into play.
Right, right.
We cannot be putting Griselbrand into play.
I could see it. I could see it. I think, man, Atraxa does a lot, though. That's what I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Atraxa does quite a bit, you know, as far as like not immediately costing you seven life to draw your cards. There's an argument to be had there about what that comes with. I think the problem really with OG Innistrad is that Day Night was such a miserable mechanic, you know?
Day Night is not an original Innistrad mechanic.
Is it not?
No, Day Night is only from Midnight Hunt and Crimson Vow.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Transform.
Transform is not that miserable. What's miserable about Transform?
I think that Transform is it's easier to keep track of. It's easier to keep track of, but I do think that it was a rough one. As far as like if any player casts a spell, you're sitting there trying to transform your card, and your opponent's like, "I cast a spell," you know. To stop your transformation, which
whatever trying to fix. We already have that mixed in. You can play the return, and you don't because they're bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could play the werewolves from Return to Innistrad, like Shadows, right?
Right.
Those don't work on the Day-Night mechanic either.
True, true.
And nobody plays them because they're all terrible.
They mostly
and
are.
And I'm going to tell you that
fair enough.
Other than Huntmaster the Fells,
yeah.
All of the ones in original Innistrad are also terrible.
Sounds good. All right.
Werewolves are never good. They've never been good, and they will never be good.
There you go. You've heard it from the mouth of a vampire lover.
I don't like Ricky. Vampires either.
But vampires definitely the better type right now. You know, the better
Did
type.
Did you see the price of Edgar Markov?
Yeah, but that's the commander one.
I know, but still. Yeah. It's kind of
definitely,
wild.
It's definitely pretty nuts. Well, hey, if you want to see or what kind of reprints would you like to see, let us know in the old comments or on Discord. Throw us in the episode discussion. Anything that you guys are dying to see reprinted, do you think that Pioneer Horizons could be great, whether or not now or later, or a Master style set could be great or later in injecting new or old cards into Pioneer. So
I've got wants for 2024.
Okay.
All right, Wizards of the Coast. I want an American Dragon Jake Long Secret Lair. This is the year. You're the dragon.
Yeah.
Okay. Dragon up, right?
Yeah.
American Dragon Jake Long.
Yeah.
Make it happen. I don't know. Steamboat Willie is public domain now, so make it happen, you know?
Yep.
Use it to blackmail Disney. Be like, we're going to make Steamboat Willie cards unless you give us the rights to American Dragon Jake Long.
There we go. There's the threat.
That's what I want.
Fair enough.
What do you want from Wizards of the Coast this year?
You know, I don't know what I want from Wizards of the Coast, but I do know what I would love is if there was a way that you could support Crew 3 by doing something that you already do on a day-to-day basis, you know?
Wow. The only things I do on a day-to-day basis is purchase tons of cardboard.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's fantastic because, as it turns out, hot off the presses from Ruckman here, if you would like to support your friends at Crew 3, we have a TCG player affiliate link now.
Wow, we're so legitimate.
it's been in the works for a while. And again, I think we ended up just getting told that, like, hey, you know, lost in the mail or something like that, because we were definitely, and it too much to our excitement, you know, we were excited. They were excited to give us a code and kind of thought we already had a code based on what I got. But if you go to crew3mtg.com, that will currently redirect you to the TCG player site through our affiliate code. And that's all you have to do. You don't have to enter something. As long as you just shop through our link, you will be directly supporting the podcast, getting us, you know, better equipment, better everything, anything we need to do. Also supporting our end of year charity stream.
That's, I'm like, the only thing it really pays out is the end of year charity.
Yeah, the end of year charity stream is all bought by our wonderful supporters at Patreon.
Yeah.
Which we'll go over in a minute. And then now, the wonderful people that use our affiliate link to buy themselves some cardboard. Buy yourself some Pioneer cardboard through a TCG player, and your boys here will get a percent. And like I said, we spent most of our earnings from last year on boxes to auction off for charity. So that's what we're doing with that right
now.
So again, the link is posted in the Discord in the announcement section, but right now crew3mtg.com will redirect you to the TCG player store. And as long as you shop while in that session, then we will get a cut, even if you come back to it later. So hashtag sponsored, hashtag all that. Obviously the real OGs are our wonderful supporters over Patreon. That's patreon.com/crew3mtg, where you chuck in a buck to get your name on all our streams and videos. $5 gets you a piece of monthly content, which this, of course, month was the Pokemon PK diagram discussion. Go check that out. And $15 or $20 international gets you the monthly swag bag, which I know Ruckman is working on. Again, they have unfortunately been late recently, but we do give you to the 10th of the month to sign up, and that's why. We don't do the beginning of the month in case you want to sign up after hearing an episode or two. We do stop the inclusion at the middle of the month in case you want to get in, because usually cards are from recent sets, recent things that have gone on, and people have asked if they could sign up late, and sign-ups have still been open. So huge thank you to everybody that supports us over there. And we usually have a mailbag question, but again, this week, I prefer if you guys would fill out your PK diagrams and interact with us on that on the Patreon channel, and then all other listeners hit us up with your feedback for the Pioneer Horizons, Pioneer Masters.
What was your top lightning Pokemon?
My top.
What'd you put?
Oh, my electric type was just Pikachu. Of course, it was Pikachu for the surprise Pikachu face.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I picked Luxray.
Luxray. Of course you did. Yours was Generation 3, you know, Lover Lord. I won't say what was there, but
you could see through the cartridge.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It was a Game Boy Advanced.
Yep. See, I'm playing Ruby and Sapphire right now, so I have them on my Game Boy Micro.
You didn't
pick. There's a Pokemon that looks exactly like Toucan Sam, and that was my flying one.
You skipped Bird Jesus himself.
Oh, so, okay, let me also say.
You skipped. Go ahead.
That the first time I did this list, I didn't know you could look at it in English. I just saw Japanese, and I didn't realize there was a toggle button for English. I was just scrolling through the Pokemon looking for the ones that I know, or using numbers that I know, right? And trying to view the Pokemon. So for some of them, like when I scrolled past Toucan Sam, I was like, oh, of course, I'm done scrolling, right? Like, that's the Pokemon for flying. That's hilarious. And I wasn't gonna like pick Pidgeotto or anything like that. So I couldn't tell what the colors meant. Like, I didn't know what the difference between poison, ghost, and dark was. So I had to like go back and change one from the next because I was lost as to what the heck was going on.
You didn't know that, like, oh, look, these are the poison ones. Oh, look, these are the ghost ones.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I had no idea. Because there were so many Pokemon that I have no idea what they are. I couldn't tell what from what, right?
What was your fighting?
Hitmonlee.
Hitmonlee?
Yeah.
God. Machamp.
Machamp's a good one. Machamp's a fine one, right? I actually like Jackie Chan more, so I should have, you know, Jackie Chan, but Hitmonlee's got the cool foot, you know? I figure you're a foot guy, Ricky. You know, you might as well.
Yeah. No, I'm a hands guy. One, right? I want four hands because he's the champion.
Yeah, fair enough. All right.
That's enough.
We can't do this all night. All right, everybody. Again, thank you for listening. Make sure you go check out that Patreon episode if you've got the chance. Look out for more content coming. And shop using that TCG affiliate link, pretty please, if you can. If you're going to buy any cardboard, support your boys over here. So, Ricky, where can they find you on the socials?
You can find me on Twitter at also Steve, and you can now find me streaming according to my New Year's resolution at crew3mtg on twitch.com.
Yep, there you go. You can find me at it's underscore Christmas. I hope you had a very, very merry, a very merry it's underscore Christmas, a very underscore kind of Christmas, I think, as Servo Token called it. And that's my name on x.com/Twitter is it's underscore Christmas. Of course, you can find Ruckman over at crew3mtg on Twitter, streaming on the same Twitch account, crew3mtg. Otherwise, Ricky, that's what'll do it for us. Say bye to everybody.
Bye to everybody.
Bye.